Our heart's desire, Lord, is to worship you. To worship you in spirit and in truth. You said in your word that you seek such. Lord, find us. Locate us tonight. For our heart's desire is to worship you. We did not come to visit. We came to abide. Do in us, with us, through us, by us, and for us, great and mighty things. Let our lives forever be changed, transformed, renewed, because your grace working through faith is establishing us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Thank you, Father, that it's so done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome you all here to the house of the Lord this wonderful day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. We are studying through the book of Proverbs, the third chapter presently. And we spent last week covering just verse 5 and 6. And I believe the week before we were doing verse 4 and 5 for the hour. And I don't want to get myself stuck in verse 6 today, but I will just read through it and exercise some self-control. And move on. The book of Proverbs is a very powerful book. It's a book that teaches us not only about spiritual things, but how we can apply those spiritual things in a practical, real-life situation. But for us to be able to experience natural life understandings and things that we need to do, and there are going to be so many opportunities as we go through the book of Proverbs to see, oh wow, this is what you need to do if you're going to get along with people. This is what you need to do if you're going to have a successful business. This is what you need to do. Some down-to-earth, real-life teachings, principles. But before we get to that, we have to establish the spiritual principles that are necessary for us to not only get where we need to get, but to continue. It's one thing to set a goal and get there. It's like somebody told me some time back, oh, I finally have $100,000 in my account. And then sends me a text later. It lasted only for a few seconds. You know, if I only can get that. And then a bill comes and you're no longer there. That makes sense? Well, so many times we pursue things and we finally arrive there and we think, this is it. I finally got married. We said, I do, and we had a party, and the ring is in the finger, but you forget that there's a marriage after the wedding. The wedding is just the beginning. But what got you to the place where that ring got into your finger? It wasn't because you were being abusive and cursing that guy out or that girl out. It wasn't because, you know, you were looking, you know, shabby. Then wash your face, take a bath, brush your teeth, put on nice clothes. Now you think, oh, I'm married, I wear anything I want to wear. Don't have to brush my mouth anymore. No. That is not the way. If you arrive, you have to continue to do the things that will help you stay consistent in that place of grace and favor and increase. There are things that will get you to the place. There are things that are going to keep you consistent where you are, staying in honor. But there are things that you need to do to experience increase so that you're not in a stale setting. Because, see, part of what happens in relationships many times is that people think they've arrived and they stop growing. And you are still married, but you're growing apart. Not because of anything else, but because you're not feeding yourself. You're not learning new things. And one person keeps on learning and keeps on growing, and the other person just says, well, we're in it now. And before you know it, he's way over there or she's way over there, and you're still here. And now you're not compatible anymore. There's nothing in common anymore. That makes sense? Well, we are in that place of finding the principles that get us to where we need to be so that we can begin to build. And one of those building blocks is here in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In 2 Chronicles 25, it talks about Amaziah, the king Amaziah. It says, King Amaziah did what was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. And the end result is he's bringing the gods of the Edomites into his life and worshiping other gods. We've got to create room only for the Lord. For out of God, who created all things, comes everything else that you need. If you and I give 3/4 of our hearts to the Lord and 1/4 is for whatever else, guess what is going to happen? That 1/4 will keep on growing and squeezing out God. It will pollute. So our hearts are meant to be altogether for God. Now, out of the fullness of God comes the love for other things, to do this for excellence, for increase, for prosperity, for divine health. All of that comes out of God in you. That make sense? So we don't need to fill our hearts with other stuff and then think, okay, well, I've got God here, and I've got other stuff here, and think that's how we make it in life. No, this heart of yours needs to be filled with all that God is, and all that God is what produces all that is. Praise God. That makes sense? Okay, it says, and lean not unto your own understanding. Get God's understanding, not your own understanding. Your own understanding is so limited. I'm here in this building right now, and all I can see is what's inside this building. But God can see inside this building, see inside of you, and see outside of this building, and see out into space all at the same time. I'm limited, but he's not. So I need to get his understanding. And as I connect with him, he begins to show me the ways of life. So the word of God says, he says, in all thy ways, in everything that you're doing, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will direct your path. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, Talk to God about it. No matter how small it is, talk to God about it. And He will direct your path. Now, you can eat something that is poisoned, not deliberately, and the poison not have an effect on you, because God's word says that already. But at the same time, that same God who says you can eat that thing that is poison and it will not hurt you, when you acknowledge God in all of your ways, can speak to you and say, don't eat that. Didn't He have the power to make that poison of known effect? Of course. But His greater goal is you and I learning obedience. That in the sight of God is greater than anything else, obedience. Let me say that again. More than anything else, obedience. You say, why would you say something like that? Is obedience greater than praising God? Yeah. Because if you are not obedient to God, you will not praise God. It's foundational. Hallelujah. It is what? Foundational. Obedience is directly connected to love. The love of for the Father and the love for people caused Jesus Christ to come in obedience, to sacrifice. Praise God. It is disobedience that brought about sin. The Bible says love believeth all things. Yeah? So, when man did not connect with the love connection with God, he did not believe what God said. And the same is true for us. If we do not believe God, which means we will not obey God, it's proof that we don't have the love of God. The love of God and obedience to Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The proof of my love for God is not my hallelujahs. Hello? Are we stepping on toes? The proof of your love of God is your obedience to the instruction of God. That's a proof that you believe God. It is a fool who says in his heart, there is no God, and therefore does not obey God. But when we obey God, it's because we have accepted the love of God. And our acceptance of the love of God is an act of obedience. I give you my love. I receive your love. Therefore, obedience is connected to faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do you see the connection? Praise the Lord. So, in essence, you can attach obedience to love in everything. So he says, acknowledge him. Acknowledge God, give God the honor that is due him, and he will yashar, he will direct, he will prosper. The word yashar can be translated as prosper, can be translated as straightening, smoothening your way. Hallelujah. Praise God. By me acknowledging God, God, this is what I'm trying to do. Is this your thought for me? Is this what I want to do for myself? Good or bad, I present it to you. I present it to you. I need your direction. I need your guidance. It's not because you're not smart. You know, obviously, when I want to eat, I don't go and ask God, put the food in my mouth. But the grace to be able to take food and put it in your mouth is because of the goodness of God. So I can acknowledge him and say, God, I thank you that today I have this food before me, and I thank you that I have the ability to eat it, and I have the ability to digest it, and it's going to be nourishment to my body. I give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for making it all possible. That's acknowledging God. Make sense? Everything. That you have teeth to eat it. That you have saliva in your mouth to break it down. That you have digestive enzymes working inside of you to make sure that that food is received. Every little detail. Because there are people who can eat, you put food in their mouth, they cannot digest it. Is that not true? Yeah. They eat it, but they cannot excrete it. So the ability to excrete whatever it is that you need to excrete is, thank God. Thank you, Lord. The fact that you have, you are able to breathe and you don't have to pay for it. Oh my God, that is so good. What a grace, Lord. But many times you just take it for granted. No, it's not. Go to St. Boniface Hospital right now and you'll find out all the billions of reasons why you need to be thankful. That you're able to walk. That you have eyelashes. that you're able to blink. There are people who cannot blink. They have to put sprays on their eyeballs all the time. And here you are, blinking away. We have every reason to acknowledge God in everything that concerns us. And so the word of God says in verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be a smart aleck. Have the fear of the Lord. Have a reverence for God. And depart from evil. Wise people depart from evil. You see that something is not right in your life. You don't live in that bubble of, well, everybody's doing it. Well, my kids used to say stuff like that. Can I do this? I said, no, you can't do that. But everybody's doing it. I said, well, if you're not doing it right now, everybody's not doing it. Praise the Lord. Everybody's not doing everything. So I don't have to do the wrong thing. I come to God and I say, God, help me. Now, there are times when people are stuck in a pathway and it is difficult for them to break free. They are hooked on drugs, they're hooked on booze, they're hooked on whatever else, pornography, and on and on and on. And now they're stuck. How does that person depart from evil? He knows this is evil, but how do I get out of it? Well, the word is very clear. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Don't try to solve it with your own mindset. Go acknowledge God, and He will direct you. He will direct your path. He will show you how to get out of that mess. Step by step, He will get you out because you acknowledge Him. You came to Him and you say, God, I need help. The Word of God says, when we depart from evil, and Proverbs 16 and verse 6 tells us something about this. In Proverbs 16 and verse 6, it says, by mercy and truth, which Proverbs 3 and verse 3, I believe, talk to us about. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By mercy and truth. Now, that means that you cry out to God for His mercy. But at the same time, acknowledge the truth that He is right. Yeah? When you acknowledge that you've got a problem and you cry out for the mercy of God, your iniquity, the pattern, that pattern of addiction, that pattern of whatever, of iniquity, gets destroyed. He says, and by the fear of the Lord, the reverence for God. And we made the connection between the fear of the Lord and praise and worship. Remember that? You praising God. See, the Word of God says when we come, we need to come with thanksgiving. Yeah? So when I'm praying for deliverance for something, I come to God and say, thank you, God, that you are well able to help me with this. I cry out to you, and I cry out to God with the confidence of knowing that you will extend mercy to me and that you will take me out of this mess, because without your help, I will falter. Without your help, I will fail. Without your help, I will be like everybody else that is just blowing it. Lord, I you know, January 1st, I decided I'm not going to do this anymore. But the first did not finish. I was back to my old ways. God, have mercy on my soul. I need help. And God will come alongside and help. He'll bring people into your life that will help you. He will help remove people out of your life that are a hindrance to you. Whatever it is that He needs to do, He will direct your path. He will begin to bring things into your life. He will begin to remove things out of your life. But when God removes things out of your life that you've been so accustomed to, don't go running after it. Even when you think, there's nothing wrong with that, let it alone. You just don't know what God is doing. That thing that He's removing, He might be removing permanently or He might be removing temporarily. He's, you know, let me put it this way. You've got something 6 feet away, but in front of that thing 6 feet away, there are so many boxes. And now you cannot reach that thing that's 6 feet away. What do? You begin to move boxes and whatever else is not what you need right now, so you can get to what you want to get that is just 6 feet away. And God sometimes will do that. Or you're crying out for help, and God says, okay, I'm going to help you. And boxes start moving. don't move that box. Just let God. That box is fragile. God knows it's fragile. God's not going to break anything that needs to be protected. Many years ago, Mama and I, you know, during one of our travels, we bought this picture. It's of some lady, and brought it home. And we put it in the landing and the staircase going upstairs. I don't know if I've told you this story before. So all of a sudden, there was a lot of commotion in our home. For no reason was that, you know, yapping and talking crazy. I said, Lord, this is not our home. This is not us. What is going on here? Why are we all of a sudden, you know, going at each other? I prayed, and the Lord says to me, see that picture there? I say, yeah. That's your problem. I said, that picture, that's a problem. What do you mean that's a problem? So I went, took the picture down, and I looked at it. The hair, that beautiful hair on the woman, were serpents. It was a Medusa. We did not notice it. We had brought the head. Thank God we didn't turn to stones. We brought an evil thing into our home. And that's why we're having problems. That's why our hearts were getting cold towards each other. So I got rid of the picture, and Mama came down, coming down, and she says, where's our picture? I said, it's gone. Why is it gone? I said, it was a Medusa. I said, huh? The devil's a liar. When you see things going off, rather than blaming each other, why don't you find out why is this happening? When you talk to God, he will direct you. He'll show you what it is. This is what is going on. This is what is going on. This is what is going on. Deal with this. And I had a situation not too long ago. I was having some financial issues. You know, it's an area financially that was not where it should be. And I talked to the Lord. I said, what is going on? And he says, you know that bill over there for this thing that you ordered? Yeah, he says, you've not paid for it yet. I said, yeah, I know I've not paid for it. I've been asking the guy to give me the bill and tell me what it is. He said, that's a problem. I said, what? But it's not my fault. So I went after the guy who kept holding me off from paying him. Hey, guy, what's going on? Oh, I'll let you know. I said, no. Lord, what do you want me to pay for this then? So the Lord told me what it was. Look at how bad the devil is. Are you listening? The Lord told me exactly what to pay. So finally, I cornered the guy. I said, what is it? And the guy says, you know what? We shipped you twice the amount of what you had asked for. And I cannot ask you to pay for it because I cannot ask you to ship it back to me. It's going to cost so much money. Just give me whatever. I knew what the Lord told me to pay. Now comes the devil. The devil says, give him 800. Now, 800 would have been fair. But what the Lord said was 1,000. So now, I said to the guy, 800 or 1,000? He said, whatever you decide. Oh, now I can decide 800, and he'll be happy with it. But would that be what God wanted? That would mean that I would be stuck in my problem because I've not obeyed the instruction. Ah! I was born last night, but I was born at night, but not last night. I said, we're sending you $1,000 right now to cover that bill, please. He said, okay, that's fine. How are you paying for it? I told him, and he sent me the receipt, and I looked at the receipt, and I said, hallelujah, I am free from the lie of the enemy. Praise God. Acknowledging God. Because sometimes the issues that we face can be self-generated or can be generated by something else. And what was God trying to accomplish? My obedience. The Bible says Jesus, our Lord, learned obedience by the things he suffered. Like I said, 800 would be fine, would be acceptable, would be more than enough. But that's not what God said. He said, give him 1,000. Praise the Lord. So acknowledging God. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health. Hallelujah. It shall be health to thy navel. Your belly button. The navel. What is the navel all about? That's where you were attached to your source, your original source of life, your mother. Yeah? Right there. It says it's going to bring health to the source of life and marrow to thy bones. Well, if the marrow in your bones dry up, your bones become brittle. You fall apart. The structure of your life fails. You have to have healthy marrow. That's where your blood is consistently being formed, and your life is in the blood. Isn't that amazing? God says, when you have my fear in you and you're acknowledging me in all of your ways, I'm going to go to the very root of the source of your life, and I'm going to bring wholeness there. In your marrow and from your navel, that umbilical cord, that's where you get your stem cells. Your best stem cells are right there. Yeah? And from your stem cells, you can create any organ in your body. Hello? Are we speaking English? So God is saying, listen, when you acknowledge me, anything that needs to be produced in your life will be produced, and in a healthy, wholesome way. Why wouldn't I want to serve God? Have a fear of God, a reverence of God, and obey God when God is saying, when you obey me, when you seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, every other thing is going to be added to you. Why am I trying to solve the problems of my life in my own strength when the word of God says, lean not onto your own understanding? The foolishness of man. All God says, hey, honor me with the first fruit. No. I got bills to pay. I don't think so. Maybe next week, Lord. So what does God's word say? Is this honor? That's right. Honor the Lord with thy what? Substance. Honor God with the substance, the things that you've got, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Watch this. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. What is it? The word of God says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with. Because God is already projecting on you, honoring him with all the substance that you've got, increase. Praise God. You honor me, I assure you there's going to be increase. And now from that increase that you get in, give me the first fruits of it. The first fruit is not the second or third. The first part of it. God brings an increase in your life. You take that first part and you honor. Praise God. It's a powerful principle. It says when you start honoring God with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase, when you honor God with your substance, that's you honoring God with your tithe. Praise the Lord. How many are in the house of God that do not honor God with your tithe? They think God is trying to take something from them, or the church is trying to take something from them. The pastor wants my money. No. A pastor that will not talk to you about financial responsibility and honor is not expressing the love of God towards you. He wants you broke. Because whatever it is that you accumulate without honoring God, one day will be blown away. This I have learned. There is not a person in this planet that is not tithing. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? You're either giving it to God or the devil will come steal it. I have financial problems. Start tithing. And the promise of God is, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Praise the Lord. He says, just honor me with the tithe. I will come and I'll watch over your stuff. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And I will open the windows of heaven. I will pour out my blessings upon you. And you will not have room enough to store it. I don't think so, Pastor. I don't think so. That doesn't make any sense to me. Okay. Keep doing what you're doing. We'll find out. You kept all that money and you're counting the numbers in your bank account. If I rob God of another $100, I will have 200. Oh, if I rob another 100, I'll get 500. If I rob, I'll get 10,000. And so you keep on robbing. And then one day, boom. I'm not saying this is how it will happen. I'm just saying things happen. Think you're getting away with it. And one day, even in Canada with nice medical whatever insurance, even here, not everything is covered. And there are people that are buying medication, and by the time the month of 2 or 3 months is gone, they've spent $10,000 already. Just for medication. Are you listening to me? And that is not covered by the government. And it's not that you spend that money, all that pain and suffering, that the enemy comes and starts poking this and poking that, and my left leg is hurting, and my left eye is hurting, and my left ear is hurting, and I'm always having migraines, and my back. So all of that. Come home, your roof is gone. Now you have to fix it. All that tithe is going to fix that roof. Buying all that medication. If marriage is falling apart, now you're paying alimony. When you just listen to God. So he rebuked when the enemy is trying to come and blow off your roof. He says, hey, get out of here. This is my son's house. Get out. You'll mess with him. God rebukes the devourer for your sake. Hallelujah. He says, so shall thy barns, that's your bank account, be filled with plenty. Not stuff that you stole from God because you robbed God in your tithe and your offering. This is the abundance of God coming into your life. It says, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Praise God. This is about the anointing of God. The merriness of God coming into your life. A heart that is made merry. Hallelujah. God's talking about new wine. That means you're getting crops. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is doing good by you. Yeah, there are challenges. Oh, of course. But the word of God is still true. And so we'll end with verse 11, where it says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. The word of God says, those he loves, he chastens. Yeah? It says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction. Oh, you can't do anything right. Blah, 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 blah. You gripe, complain. I'm not going to go to church today because somebody's going to be saying something. I'm going to feel guilty. It's not about feeling guilty. God points out things to us to help us become better and greater. Hallelujah. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It is the enemy that brings condemnation to our lives. God will rebuke us. God may chastise us. God will correct us. And he says, don't be weary of the correction of God. If you've not gotten it right, God will keep on correcting you. Because why would he promote you and lift you higher and then you fall and break every bone in your body? We're living in a world where the government, our educational system, is just encouraging us to promote people. A guy can't read. Can't read grade one level. Was in grade four. How? I'm in grade four, praise God, hallelujah. They promoted me, I thought I was going to fail, but they promoted, no. You failed already, and you were promoted to bigger failure. Learn. It's not happening here yet. Or maybe it's happening and I don't know about it. But this is what's happening in our world. People want to buy a house. And normally they will ask for your credit report, right? And based on your credit report, there's a determination on how much interest you're going to pay. So the better your credit report is, the lower interest you're going to pay. True? But do you know what's happening now? It's flipped. You have poor credit report. You can't get a house. So we'll lower the interest rate for you so that you can buy a house. And the guy whose credit rate is good, they give him a higher interest rate. What are you trying to do? Make people zombies. Make people who are trying to get ahead in life have no drive, no passion to get better. So that we all become losers. The devil's a liar. You're promoting kids. Why don't you spend time working with them so that they can get better? Know their math better. Do you think if we decide here in North America that we're going to lower our educational status and whatever else, that there are people in China or Korea or Japan, they're going to lower theirs too? No, they're going to get smarter and smarter, and one day you will depend on everything that comes from them, and they will give you the crumbs that they want to give to you and control your society. Oh, but we're trying to be politically correct. Hallelujah. Yeah. No, God doesn't do that. God says, hey, we need to straighten this out. We need to get this right. Because if you don't get it right, you're going to get into bigger issues and you're going to be facing problems that you cannot handle. So I'm going to work with you to make sure you get it right. Oh, God, you're a hard driving taskmaster. No, I'm trying to get you better. Because if you don't get better, you're going to be broke and a beggar, and then you're going to be bitter, and you're going to be jealous of everybody else, envious of everybody else, covetous of everybody else, and you'll try to steal from other people just to make it in life. No, no, no. I want you smarter than that. I don't know why I'm remembering this, but this is a funny way to end tonight. I was visiting with a neighbor just the other day, and it tells me something, you know, just about when I was about to head out. I think this is a true life story because it had something to do with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And he tells me this story. Why, Lord, did you bring this to my mind now? That must be a reason. I don't know the reason, but I'll say it anyway. He says, this guy, somebody jumped, came to his house, and stole his barbecue gas tank. Stole it. And they left a note, and they said, I had a group of people come to my house, and, ran out of gas, so I took your gas tank. So please, but I'm going to return it when I'm done with it. I didn't know where to go get gas from. But for your troubles, I'm going to leave you with 4 tickets for the Blue Bombers. Wow. Wow, I said, oh, that's good. But you, at least when they're home and you could have done that, why do you have to steal it? Anyway, so... Oh, the guy says, okay. So they take the 4 tickets and they go to the Blue Bombers game. When they got back home, their house was all empty. It stole everything. What a setup. That's the devil. That's the devil. He comes and he finds a way to creep in. And he creeping in, the agenda is everything in your house. It's not just your gas tank. Barbecue and everything in their house moved off while they were busy. Touchdown! Everything gone. Devil, come on. When God chastises us, is to make sure that we don't fall into an entrapment of the enemy where he deceptively works into our life and it just takes a little bit. You know, the devil doesn't come and grab everything at once. It's one bite at a time. My dad used to say, you know, if you have a rat in the house, he says, they can come and chow down on the soles of your feet. I said, how? Won't you know? He said, no, this is what happens. While it is busy eating the stuff off of your feet, it keeps on blowing. And you don't feel it. And there's a story. I'm sure you know this story about the frog that got boiled. Yeah? Got boiled. A little at a time. A little at a time. And that's what happens to so many people. But what I am so gloriously blessed by is that in God, it doesn't matter how bad the situation is, He's able to bring us back to life. Amen? So when you think, oh, it's too late, God says, no, no, no. I work with too late situations. I can fix you too. I can work with you. And so we give Him praise because He's a God who loves us. And verse 12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He corrected. Even as a father, the son in whom He delighted. If God delights in us, He'll correct us. The opposite of love is apathy, not hate. When you are not loved, nobody cares. When a marriage falls apart, the woman that used to say, yeah, 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 or the guy that used to say, yeah, 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 stops talking. And when they stop talking, you think, oh, there's peace in our home now. Everything is okay. Glory be to God. You find out later that no talking is apathy. When there is still love, there's still the talking. When it gets silent, make sure that silence is because the problem has been removed and a true heart change has taken place. That the things that used to upset are no longer present. Because if everything is still the same, and now there's no more talking, no more complaining about it, it's apathy. It's the end. You just think everything is fine. No. It ended. God doesn't want to give us apathy. He wants to give us love. If God keeps on telling you something over and over, this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, and all of a sudden He's silent, do whatever you want to do. You're in trouble. Don't ever have God come to you and say, whatever you want to do, just go ahead and do it. Now, what is wrong is now okay. Whatever you want to do, start crying your eyes out. Because God does not change His mind on what wrong is. All of a sudden, what was wrong, now it's okay. That's trouble. And that's where our world is. And says, you want to mess around with each other? Okay. Go ahead. Now we don't know what a woman is and what a man is anymore. Because we don't want the Bible. Put it away. We don't know what is right. What is right, they call wrong. And what is wrong is right. That's God saying, I told you, I love you, I sent you prophets, I sent you people to tell you what to do, but you decided you don't want me, so I left you to your own ways. Live the way you want. You end up consuming each other. It's my body. It's my body. Okay? So what's inside you is not in it. No. It's a blob. A blob that has feet and eyes and ears. So one point, you can abort when you're 2-3 months. Now they're willing and ready to abort till the 9th month. In fact, the child is born and they will kill the child. But it's okay. Well, so what stops some guy, a bit religious, walking down the street and say, pow, 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 pow. No respect for life? This is what you got. And God says, that's the life you want to live? I'm watching you. Oh, if there's a God, if there's a God, if there's a God. No. Why are you mentioning God in this? I said, don't go this way. You said you will go that way. So now why are you calling my name to it? Do what you want to do. And that's where our world is. But that's not where we will be. Amen? We cry out to God for mercy. And we trust God for grace to overcome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you help us intervene in every aspect of our lives and help us to make the right decisions. Choose wisely. Understand our need of you and turn our lives around because we turn it over to you. Intervene, O God, and save us for your glory. Use us, O God, to impart our nation, our communities. Let many come to salvation and live the newness of life that is possible in Christ Jesus, our sovereign Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, if there's anyone out there tonight, watching us on YouTube, Facebook, Reddit, whatever platform you may be listening in. Or if you're here today and you know you need to give your life to God and say, God, I need you in my life. Take me as I am and do something with me. I'm tired of running my own life in my own ability. I want to acknowledge you so you can direct me. If that's you, right where you are, at home or even here, just raise your right hand and I'll certainly pray with you and trust God to do a work of grace in your life. Because I cannot see you out there, I'll just say, do this with me right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Do something with it. Save me. And make me a new creation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me with your grace so I can live a new life that glorifies you and brings me to the right place. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.